Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. You to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to an hour two of Old School, 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Plenty still to get to over the course of the next 2 hours. Then coming up, of course, at 7 o'clock tonight, high school football. Nick Sainert, Jay Foreman on the call. The top 10 Creighton Prep headed down to Seacrest Field to take on Lincoln Southeast. Knights took down the Silverhawks of Southwest 26-9 1 week ago at Seacrest Field. Nick and Jay on the call again coming up later tonight. Until then, still plenty to get to in Husker football. And of course, Kansas City Royals baseball. You're hearing less and less of the Royals on our airwaves as we continue to move into football season. Heard him a couple times earlier in the week, but of course, we are Lincoln's home for not just the Kansas City Royals, but also some NFL football. Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays, we bring you plenty of NFL action here on the Ticket, then college football on Saturdays. But we know on this show just how near and dear the Royals are to my heart. And it pains me. It truly pains me to have to admit on the air that the Royals appear to be cooked. They're finished. It's over. It's a bummer. They gave it a valiant effort, but I think that it is officially time to call it. I've been in the mindset for the Royals for the last few weeks now that it was unlikely that they would end up making the playoffs. And that's because they had the wretched June. Got back quite a bit in July. August was pretty good for them. I think they still have a top 7 or 8 record in the sport dating back to the All-Star break. But starting to take on water, wheels are starting to fall off a little bit, whatever metaphor analogy it is that you want to use. And the Royals now find themselves out of arm's reach right now, really, of Houston in the last wild card spot, 5 games back of the Astros, with, after some quick math, about 20 games to play. Wait, nope, I can do better math than that. 15 games to play, even fewer games than that remaining. Royals have played 147 of the 162 guaranteed games that they get every year. And this feeling really goes back a couple weeks. Royals lost the first game of the series to the White Sox, then 1-2. Okay, that's fine. But man, you really need to sweep the White Sox if you want to remain in contention. Lose 2 out of 3 to the Tigers. Well, that's too bad, but they're on top of the division. They're good. What are you going to do? You kind of expect that one. The killer was losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels at home. The Angels aren't, you know, White Sox, Rockies level bad, but they're not good. They're 5 games back of the Royals right now. They're just a normal bad team, but the Royals lost 2 out of 3 in excruciating fashion to the Angels. Lost 5-1 and 4-3 with some dramatics late before a tight 4-3, I believe, come from behind victory against the Angels to wrap up that series. well, okay, they salvaged one, not what they're going for, but you know, if you get the sweep of the Twins, you're still looking at a 4-2 week. Royals win the first two games against the Twins, combined margins of 13-3, and then lose the series finale on Sunday, 5-1. All right, well, 3-3, you're a game behind pace for what you really needed to do to hang around in the race. So where is it that you're going to end up picking up some wins? Well, you thought, hey, you got Cleveland. You go to Cleveland for a 4-game set. Kind of a big deal. Cleveland's right there with you. And pause on the Royal sidebar for a second. How in the world is Cleveland still Clevelanding? It's devil magic. I have no other explanation for the Guardians. For as bad as the Royals' run differential is, they're minus 11 on the year. The Guards are minus 38 in run differential and closer to a playoff spot than the Royals. Now, that being said, the Rays are plus 51 and still a game and a half back of the Royals and 6.5 back of the Astros. So run differential's not everything, but it's generally a predictor of future success. You beat teams by more, you're usually a better team. Royals and Guards both sub-even when you look at their run differential, and yet Cleveland is a game and a half better than the Royals overall, having played one fewer game overall. But Cleveland keeps piecing it together with some duct tape, some devil magic, and it helps when you have, you know, Stephen Kwan at the top of the lineup. You look at Jose Ramirez, wildly underrated, I think, across the sport of baseball for how he's performed over not just this season, but the course of the last 4 or 5 years, really. Begrudging respect to Jose Ramirez. It just leads you to wonder if you're Cleveland, what could have been if you had Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez patrolling that same left side of the infield for the Guards. But it wasn't just that loss to the Twins. The Royals go to Cleveland, and they've now dropped 3 games to Cleveland in that series. Royals were a game and a half up on the Guards headed to Cleveland. Now they're a game and a half back of the Guards, and a lot of that margin for error, essentially all of it, has been completely chewed through. And it's too bad, but it also makes sense. If you think about the Royals, what they've had going on, or really not had going on all year, it's been the offense. The offense has really sputtered. It ticked up right after the All-Star break. Oh, well, Zumwalt might not be so bad. Everyone's finally playing up to their potential. It just hasn't been good for the last couple weeks when the Royals have really needed it to be good. The Royals' playoff odds as of like a week and a half ago were still in double-digit percentages, 12 to 15%, where it's still a long shot, but you've seen crazier things happen. Take a lot going right for the Royals, and it just hasn't. And we'll get to that in a little bit. We got a text from 6320 here that we'll get to. Royals playoff odds have dropped from like 15% a week and a half ago down to 1.4%. So no, the Royals are not mathematically eliminated. They're not dead. There is still the faintest flicker of hope, of life, of a spark left in the Royals. But the vibes are bad, and they did not take advantage of their opportunity. Cleveland was on a bit of a tailspin. Seattle was not necessarily playing great baseball. The Royals got as close as 1 game out of holding a wild card position and then went into that tailspin that I talked about. And things aren't necessarily getting easier for them, right? From Cleveland, who's still a fringy, pesky contender. Again, seems like the door's pretty close to shut on them, but they're a game and a half up on the Royals. You go from Cleveland to Philly, who is sitting pretty in the National League East. They have a 11-game lead over the suddenly free-falling Mets, who themselves, I mean, still have a 77% chance at making the playoffs. That's way down from where it was. Then from Philly, they come home, and it doesn't necessarily get easier from there for the Royals, because the next week after Kansas City wraps up with Philly this weekend, yes, they come back home, they get a 3-game set with the Mariners, and they get a 3-game set with the Blue Jays to end out their home schedule. Mariners obviously now in first place in the American League West. They overtook Houston. That'll be a tight race going down. Even Texas is still in play for that. Blue Jays obviously leading the American League East. And then the Royals will end up with 6 on the road against the Angels, who they just lost 2 out of 3 to at home. and the Athletics, who swept the Royals at home earlier in the year. So it's not over, but it's really starting to feel like it is over. And why is that? We'll get to some of this. John in Cortland says, quit crying. Talk to AD Pittsburgh or me, St. Louis. Boo-hoo. And sorry, not sorry, John. Yeah, Pittsburgh has been bad. Normal, disappointing, 64-83. Cardinals aren't actually that far back of the Royals. They're 72-75, which is a wretched year by Cardinals standards. But, you know, that's why I can't be too mad about this Royals team and where it's at right now. Yeah, they're fading to the finish line. No, they're not necessarily sprinting through the line. But I think about this Royals season as a Royals fan in a very similar way that I thought about the Nebraska men's basketball season. Made the postseason for the first time in far too long a season ago. Come out with more expectations, a lot of pieces back, but some gone as well. And year over year, it was a step back for both programs. Nebraska men's basketball goes from the NCAA tournament to the crown. Royals go from not just making the wild card, but winning a road wild card series against Baltimore to more likely than not, barring miracle of miracles, missing the playoffs this year. And I cannot stress enough that year over year, it's a step back. It didn't live up to the expectations, I think, of Royals fans. Nebraska basketball is a slightly different conversation that I don't want to relitigate right now. But think about where Nebraska men's basketball had been for a while. Think about where the Kansas City Royals had been for a while. Yes, they had the highs of 2013, 2014, and 2015. Only made the playoffs in 14 and 15, but 2013 was a great step in the right direction. And then they were competitive in the race in August and September of both 2016 and 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 21, and then, of course, 22 were all brutal, brutal seasons for the Royals. 23, not much better, but a slight step in the right direction. 24, they make the playoffs, and here we are in 25. But aside from 2003, what were the other bright spots for the Royals this entire millennia, the last 25 years? There weren't any. It was, oh, look at the farm system. It was, oh, look, Zach Greinke got a Cy Young. Then they had to trade him. The Royals were feckless. They had nothing going for them for the better part of 20 years, which made that 2014-15 run so magical. And it shouldn't have to be. If you're like me, Royals fans out there listening to this segment right now, I'm not going to tell you not to be disappointed this year. I don't want to tell you how to be a fan. All I will tell you is that I am less disappointed in the team and its performance than I am bummed. I'm so proud to be a Royals fan. I mean, Jack Caglione comes up. He really struggles, but he's putting together better at bats now. You saw Carter Jensen go from double A to the majors. That's a step in the right direction. You saw Noah Cameron go from, you know, back into the rotation, you know, ceiling to pitching like an ace for a couple months there before the book really got out on him. You saw the storybook season that Chris Bubich was having. Michael Wacha continued his, you know, late career resurgence. It doesn't outweigh necessarily the Cole Reagan's injury. And Seth Lugo appears to be broken, and we don't know what's going on with that. Lucas Irsay was not himself, dealt with injuries a little bit. Carlos Estevez has been a bit of a rocky ride, and yet he leads the American League in saves, right? That's not nothing. The pitching staff started the year as a strength, has continued to be a strength for this team, despite the injuries, despite the names, despite not having the depth that you thought they did. I mean, think about the Royals having to rely on Rich Hill to get starts. That was supposed to be Alec Marsh. Think about, you know, Bailey Falter. That was supposed to be Kyle Wright. Guys, the Royals had signed that, you know, they shouldn't have needed to trade for Bailey Falter because they had that depth in AAA rehabbing, but neither Marsh nor Wright came back to do anything. Royals chewed through their pitching depth so quickly this year, and that's going to hurt every team, especially a team like the Royals built on pitching. But if you look, in terms of runs allowed, the Royals are second in the American League, only behind Texas in terms of runs allowed. The pitching staff has not been the problem. If you look across baseball, the Royals are third in runs allowed. The only other team that they're behind is the San Diego Padres. The pitching has been incredible for the Royals. And Jacob in Lincoln in 63-20, that is why, one piece of the reason why I do not believe in the slightest that Matt Quatrero is part of the issue for the Kansas City Royals. He's not. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. There are things he could do better, and we will always, always, always second guess and question the manager. But think about all those pitching injuries that I just mentioned. Matt Quatrero has navigated that. On a night-to-night basis, sure, maybe there are some questionable decisions with how he handles the bullpen. But think about, again, Lucas Ursake, supposed to be his best, most consistent reliever, has been banged up. Angel Zerpa was really good at the end of the last year. He's been up and down. Jonathan Bolin has been up and down with options. Steven Cruz has been up and down just based on injury. Carlos Estevez has been locked into that ninth inning role. So yes, they've given too many innings to Sam Long, too many chances to him. John Schreiber did not necessarily do himself any favors last night. It was 63-20. I can think of four games that we lost because of Matt Quatrero. Four games out of 162 ain't a lot. I think about a baseball season this way. You're all but guaranteed to win 54. You're all but guaranteed to lose 54. It's what you do with the middle 54 that determines your season. And right now, it looks like the Royals are going to go 27-27 in that middle 54. But think about how good the pitching staff has been. Think about how decimated it has been by injuries to this point in the year. And that's not getting better. And think about how bad the offense has been. As good as the pitching has been, the offense has been worse. The Royals have scored 559 runs all year. Do you know how many teams that's better than in all of baseball? One. The Royals have outscored two teams in baseball. The Royals have outscored, looking at runs scored, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Colorado Rockies. They have been outscored by the White Sox. They have been outscored by the Guardians. They have been outscored by the Braves. They've been outscored by the Nationals. And yes, 63-20, if you had four games now, you're only one game out of a wild card. I can't dispute that. Yes, he makes some questionable lineup decisions. But are you telling me that Kyle Isbell has his career best numbers because Matt Quatrero was using him wrong? Because Tyler Tolbert is playing too much? No. Kyle Isbell has the best numbers of his career and looks like a solution because he's in a platoon role. Nick Lofton is a quad A guy that's on the bench. Tyler Tolbert is a bit piece. He's playing. They've gotten something out of him. They haven't forced Dairon Blanco on Royals fans, you know, just to make him work. No, Matt Quatrero hasn't been perfect. Yes, we're going to have questions about lineup construction. Yes, I would have played Carter Jensen and Jack Haglione against a righty earlier in this week. Again, I'm not saying that Matt Quatrero is above reproach. Certainly, there are always going to be questions about a manager and his decision-making. But the manager can only put the lineup together, right? 63-20, Isbell not an issue, right field was for 50 games. Yes. Does Matt Quatrero have any control over who his right fielder is? Barely. Matt Quatrero tried MJ Melendez with his, you know, new swing in spring training. That didn't work. Lofton got a shot. Caglione got a shot. That didn't exactly fix the problem. So what did J.J. Piccolo do? Went out and made moves. Mike Yastrzemski has been incredible since getting to Kansas City. Randall Grichuk, another guy that the Royals haven't asked to play every day, is basically doing his job in a platoon role. That's what Royals fans were promised when Matt Quatrero came in. It wasn't just giving the same old retread guys a shot just because they're under contract, you didn't want to cut money. Matt Quatrero's platooned guys, and they've had better numbers because of it. The problem is that the better numbers still aren't necessarily good numbers. I mean, shoot, Hunter Renfro played for this team for 40 games this year, and it was bad before they finally cut it. It's on J.J. Piccolo to make the roster better, and we can get to this coming up here in our next segment. I know Jay Foreman's given his speech, and he'll call back in to get us back on football topic. But for as many games as you might want to blame on Matt Quatrero for going to the wrong bullpen guy in the wrong situation, I think given Matt Quatrero's track record, where he comes from, and the background that he has with his time in the Rays system, the number of analytics people that have been hired to the Royals staff in the way that they go over their numbers every day, I, with the vast majority of my heart, more than just three of the four, you know, chambers of it, believe that, that Matt Quatrero has a data-based reason for pretty much everything he does. Now, he's not just a follow the numbers, this is what the numbers said, you know, Kevin Cash guy by any stretch of the imagination. But for every time you wonder, well, why is Sam Long pitching? You have to ask yourself, how recently has Lucas Ursaic pitched? How recently has Carlos Estevez pitched? When's the last time those guys had a day off? Have they pitched 3 out of 4? Have they pitched 4 out of 5? Royals don't like to do that. Rays don't like to do that. You know, they're at the end of a long, long road trip. And why is John Schreiber in a save situation? Well, maybe because the offense didn't give enough cushion, or the middle relievers, you know, blew enough of that cushion that, hey, you had to spend your top relievers in a game you probably shouldn't have had to. And so because you used those guys yesterday, now that's they've pitched 3 of the last 4, plus the road trip that you've been on, the long road swing, whatever, and now this is what you're left with. I understand watching baseball on a day-to-day basis is incredibly frustrating. There are so many ways you can say, well, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? Last night, I don't know if it was Quatrero that called for the bunt or Kyle Isbell that did it on his own. Either way, bad decision, inexcusable at that time. But I don't think Matt Quatrero is the problem. I don't think there are many other managers in the sport that would have gotten this Royals team to still be above 500 with 15 games to play with, like I said, all the pitching injuries that they had. Their top two starters going into the year, Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, have dealt with injuries and ineffectiveness in their own ways. Their breakout star, Chris Bubich, on the shelf with a shoulder injury. Never a good sign. They called up some nobody prospect journeyman, like essentially the Freddie Fermin of pitchers in Noah Cameron, and had him pitch like a Rookie of the Year candidate for 3.5 months. If you're going to have issues with Matt Quatrero, that's fine. But let's give credit to his pitching staff. Sweeney, Bove, Stetter, that have gotten the most out of this pitching staff to still have them a game above 500. Still alive in the playoff race, even by the tiniest technicality. Despite having the third worst offense, or fourth worst offense, bottom five offense, in all of baseball. You can't tell me Matt Quatrero is the problem. Matt Quatrero has more often than not, 90% of the time or more, made a data-based decision to put this Royals team in position to succeed. You can have your issues with him. Again, not perfect, but I don't think the Royals are going to do better than Matt Quatrero. But where can the Royals do better? Where do they need to improve? It is the offense. Let's go ahead and get into that. We'll take a break. How can the Royals bounce back to the playoffs next year? We'll go over that when we get back to Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right through the Royals rant on Old School. Austin Orman with you. Jay Foreman will rejoin the show on his way to high school football. This segment brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while still keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more info at 402-430-3852 or visit them online, heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. 6320, really appreciate you getting that conversation going there. Hope you don't feel attacked. Really appreciate you listening and being along for the ride. I'm not trying to say I know everything about the Kansas City Royals. I just hope I was able to offer you that little bit of different perspective. Where I will agree with you is that the 2026 Royals need to get better. They got to get better across the board in a number of areas. Then, you know, having normal health would help. Last year, the Royals suffered basically no injuries to their starting rotation that carried them to the playoffs. This year, they faced a lot of injuries, right? Those things normalize in the long run. What hasn't normalized for the Royals has been the offense over the case, over the course of the last couple of years. I really tend to agree with my dad. Quatrero was not the main problem. Scoring 2 runs per game is the problem. It's a wonder Potrero.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Was able to drag them this close to a playoff berth with an offense that's bad. Kansas City needs a new hitting coach much, much more than they need a new manager. Not going to call for jobs. Don't know what goes on behind the scenes with Alex Umwalt and his staff. But over the course of the last few years, the hitting has indeed lagged behind. Cubscrew brings up what hurt Kansas City in the first half. First third was the run production from the outfield. Let's take a look at the numbers for the guys that have played the outfield for Kansas City this year. We'll start with the guys that are listed as the primary at-bat getters, primary games played guys here, according to Baseball Reference. Drew Waters, 71 games in the outfield for the Royals, OPS plus of 70, 30% worse than league average. Kyle Isbell, even in a career year for him with the bat, has played 131 out of the, 147 games, I think, for the Royals, 83 OPS plus. That would be worse if he was playing every day against tough lefties. And then Jack Caglione, his major league debut, he's been worth negative wins above replacement, negative 1.4, his OPS plus a whopping 38. So those are the guys that are listed right there. Let's add in some of the other options that have played the outfield. Kevin Biggio, utility guy, 55 OPS plus across 37 games, 83 plate appearances. Nope, not going to cut it. Michael Massey has gone back and forth between left field and second base, OPS plus of 45, and for a while was the worst qualified hitter in baseball before a stint on the injured list. He's batting .222 with an on-base percentage of .241 and a slug of .278. Nick Lofton, below replacement level by 0.4 of a win, 77 OPS plus. John Rave, 0.1 wins above replacement across 156 plate appearances, 136 at bats, .286 on-base percentage, .199 batting average, 71 OPS plus. Adam Frazier's been pretty good for the Royals since he's been acquired, 99 OPS plus, playing in the outfield corners and second base. Only had him for 43 games. I mentioned Mike Yastrzemski, right? 133 OPS plus, 33% better than league average just since joining the Royals, but he's only been around for 36 games, and that's a platoon guy at age 34. Mark Canna, late offseason signing, negative one wins above replacement before an IL stint. Hunter Renfro, negative 1.5 wins above replacement in a whopping 35 games. It's hard to be that bad that quick. Hunter Renfro was. Randall Grichuk, I guess I gave him too much credit. He's been negative since joining the Royals, OPS plus of 50. MJ Melendez, an OPS plus in 65 plate appearances of minus 10. A negative number. All his other guys can at least say they were a positive number. MJ Melendez, who to his credit, did just hit for the cycle last night in Omaha, is proving he is a quad A player, and the Royals should have traded him, struck while the iron was hot, and they did not have the foresight so to do under the previous administration. Tyler Tolbert, negative wins above replacement. Dairon Blanco only played in 9 games with 8 plate appearances. They hardly count. And that's just the outfield, right? I mentioned one guy, Mike Yastrzemski, who's been with the team for 36 games with an OPS plus above league average. Adam Frazier is essentially right there. He's been worth 0.7 wins above replacement as well. But you look at the top two-thirds, I guess, of the Royals lineup. Salvador Perez, even no wins above replacement, 0.0 player, OPS plus of 96, maybe asked to play a little bit too much so far this year, especially behind the dish, but that's what he asks for. How do the Royals improve in 2026? They get a step forward from Carter Jensen so that Carter Jensen becomes the guy that catches four times a week, platooning with Salvador Perez to help extend Salvi's career and help him reach some of these milestone numbers, just a couple homers away from 300. That's an easy way for the Royals to get better in 2026, is Carter Jensen takes over as catcher. Salvador Perez can catch, he can DH, or for his own sake, he can sit a day or two, which he doesn't like to do, but the Royals have to find a way to sell Salvador Perez on rest being a good thing for him at least once a week. Vinny Pasquantino really rebounded from a rough, rough March and April. He's up to an OPS plus of 119. Now 30 homers and 102 RBIs. I think just the 11th time in Royals history that's happened. Vinny became the 10th player to do that. Really good, really solid year for Vinny Pasquantino. A guy that I would have been on board with trading because he's good. I don't know if he's a huge difference maker, but I think he is to this team. I think another year like this from Vinny Pasquantino, he'll win you games for a month. You know, you can win because of him for a month. You'll win with him. I do think Vinny Pasquantino is a winning player, and I do think he's one of those off-the-field impact locker room guys. Jonathan India has somehow been an above-replacement-level player despite an OPS plus of 88. Not sure he's back with the Royals next year. Would not hate it if he's back with the team. Would not hate it if they decide to non-tender him. So keep an eye out for that on Jonathan India. Bobby Witt Jr., you know, oh, I mean, he hasn't been the superstar he was last year. He's taking a step back, you know. It's always going to happen after the magical year that Bobby had last year. Friends, what if I told you that Bobby Witt Jr., in a down year, with an OPS plus this year of, let me get my numbers right here, an OPS plus of 134 from the shortstop position, down from, let me get this loaded from last year, 134 this year and a 171 last year, or 175 last year. He's down 40 points in his OPS plus, but he has still been a top five most valuable player, not just in the American League, in baseball. According to FanGraphs wins above replacement, Bobby Witt Jr. is, to this point, the fourth most valuable player in baseball. No, he's not putting up a 10-win season like he did last year. But he's still number four. Behind Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge, the two guys really battling for American League MVP, which, give my boy Bobby some love. Where would the Royals be without him? And Shohei Ohtani in the National League, who, as a designated hitter, has been worth 6.5 wins above replacement, which is incredible, and he adds another 1.4 wins above replacement from the mound. So you can say, you know, Bobby hasn't been as good this year as he was last year, and that's still true. But what you cannot argue is that Bobby is not still a top five player in the sport. And if this is a down year and Bobby comes back with something to prove next year, oh, baby. Rest of the Royals lineup, Mikel Garcia, first breakout year of his career. He has been incredible. He has right now a 128 OPS plus, been worth 5 wins above replacement. That's, again, a top 10 mark in the American League. Both those guys are on the left side of the infield for the Royals. How does Mikel Garcia improve for next year? Do it again. Even if Mikel's a 4-win player next year, that's another step in the right direction. Okay, Waters won't be on the team. Isbell, I think you can expect more of the same. Then we get to Jack Caglione, whose plate appearances have really looked better since he came back from the IL. There's still not a whole lot of swing and miss. He's got to pick and choose his spots a little bit better in terms of which pitches it is that he's going to swing at. He's been an exit velocities darling. He's been an expected stats darling. So the key for Jack Caglione is not to fall into the same trap that Eric Hosmer did. Hosmer had some of the same stuff when he came up with the Royals in the early 2010s. Really good exit velocities, really good expected numbers, but the surface numbers weren't where you needed them to be. Hosmer changed his approach and became a ground ball to second base machine. And I don't mean to denigrate the legend that is Eric Hosmer, responsible for some of my favorite moments watching baseball ever. Haas carved out a legitimate Major League Baseball career. But I hope the Royals have learned the lessons and have the right people in place to tell Jack Caglione to stay the course. focus on plate discipline as best you can and keep just hitting the snot out of the ball, and it will fall eventually. Not too worried about Jack Caglione. Really need to see a step up from him next year. Then it comes down to the rest of the outfield spots. You know, if you're platooning Kyle Isbell in center field, and you'll get a righty hitting center fielder that can play 40, 45 games a year. Can you re-sign Mike Yastrzemski to platoon? You know, is at the top of the order. He has been so good for the Royals at the top of the order. You know, I would guess there's some mutual interest there in coming back. But that's really what it's going to take for the Royals is better health from the pitching staff, especially the starters. Get Lucas Ercik back fully healthy as the chess piece of the back end of the bullpen. And then get corner outfield production. That's what it comes down to. I don't know the free agency class off the top of my head, but you're probably going to have to pay if you want a premium bat, like it seems the Royals need to elevate their lineup. The fact that Jack Caglione is up and playing right field right now is a glaring indictment on Tyler Gentry for not being the answer, on John Ray for being nothing more than replacement level, and on Gavin Cross, top 10 draft pick that has not panned out, who might make it to Omaha to start next year. He's been better at AA. There's been some weird stuff going on behind the scenes with him. Tick-borne illness a couple seasons ago, various injuries here and there. But Jack Caglione should have never have had to rush up from the minors like he was to play a foreign position. Royals got to get better at drafting and developing hitters. Seems like they have some secret sauce with pitchers. Their entire pitching staff is developing guys up and down the system. I don't know how deep in the weeds you other Royals fans are with me. With the Columbia Fireflies, they're playing for their league championship game behind 18-year-old David Shields, lefty the Royals took with their second pick last year, or 2 years ago now, and 17-year-old Kendry Churio from the Dominican League. 67-5 strikeout-to-walk ratio. There is a lot of fun on the horizon for the Royals, but they got to get there sooner than later, because to 2280's point, or where would Bobby be without the Royals probably in the playoffs? Bobby's contract looms over all of this. It does. Yeah, they signed him long term, but Bobby gets the opt out before the team does. If you're the Royals, essentially, you have through 2030, I believe it is, with Bobby Witt. Maybe 2031, something like that. Time's ticking, because he can opt out after that for like the next 3 years before you have three or four club options on the end of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract. The Royals have proven that they are a better organization today than they were when they drafted Bobby Witt Jr. They're a better organization today than they were when Bobby Witt Jr. debuted. Bobby has done a lot for the community of Kansas City. He is very clearly beloved in the area. He's taken to Kansas City. But now they have to prove they can take the next step. And that, again, to 2280's points, for perspective, the Royals have only made the playoffs 10 times in their existence. And some of that is a little tricky, because if we had modern postseason rules, those 70s and 80s Royals teams would have made it pretty consistently. And shoot, the Royals were one of the best teams in baseball before that strike in the mid-90s. So let's not sleep on that. The Royals have had better teams. The playoffs just weren't expanded before then. So yes, only made it 10 times. But that's why I go back to even just the year 2000. 2014, 2015, 2024. When the Royals were in the playoffs. Three times in 25 years, 26 seasons, essentially, is not good enough. But it is still a step in the right direction for this team to have made the playoffs last year, to have a superstar and a couple of all-star caliber supporting pieces in the lineup, a couple all-star caliber pitchers in the rotation, and maybe one in the bullpen. It's a bummer they're not going to make the playoffs this year, but it's still a step in the right direction. But you have to make sure you capitalize on the momentum of the last 2 years in aggregate and make moves. Be willing to go all in. I think Bubba is joking when he says they can improve by selling the team. I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen. I mean, John Sherman and his group just bought the team. They've invested. They've spent. I like John Sherman. I think he's taking the team in the right direction. I'm curious to see what Royals fans' perspective of him will be with the whole stadium issue that's still lingering over Truman Sports Complex. I like John Sherman. He's proven he's willing to spend. You know, the Royals at least called and asked about Juan Soto. They were never going to get him, but they at least called and asked. Of course, they're going to say is no. The old Royals would never have done that. I'm not expecting the Royals to go out there and sign, you know, three free agent Band-Aids. What I am expecting is a change in offensive coaching staff, because something's got to change. Something's got to be better. I'm expecting Jack Caglione to be better. I'm expecting Carter Jensen to be at least a league average player in his first full year. I'm expecting Bobby Witt Jr. to be a superstar. I'm expecting Michael Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino to be, you know, borderline all-stars. And then just get anything from the corner outfield. You hope Cole Reagans is back healthy. Seems like his rehab outings have gone well. I think he's throwing tonight. Hope Chris Bubich is back. And I know that hope is not a strategy, but they shut these guys down early enough that you hope they prevented any major issues. No surgery for Bubich and Reagans, which is huge. Lugo can't possibly be this bad again. Like, just the way he fell off, how quickly he did. Either there's an underlying injury there that we don't know about or is more serious than they're letting on, or a guy like Seth Lugo, kind of the Kyle Hendricks professor vibe, will find a way to catch on and improve for next year, because he won't allow himself to have back-to-back years that look like this. The Royals are right there. Despite the offensive issues and despite the pitching injuries, they were still in the playoff hunt into mid-September. That's a step in the right direction for this franchise that I hope they don't waste and step backwards next year. We'll wrap up hour two of Old School. Get ready to bring Jay Foreman back in for some college football and NFL weekend discussion and picks. That's all ahead here on the show.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of Old School here, 93.7 Ticket and theticketfm.com. If you're driving down O Street, give a little wave as you drive by 1040 here on the corner of 11th and O. Austin Orman with you here. Jay Foreman ought to be joining on the phone before too long to go over some college football and NFL games of the weekend. A lot of fun stuff going on in both leagues. Coming up at 6, Rudy Grace and I will take you through some high school football action, some scores from last week, some news from the last couple of days, and then get you set up for tonight's action. The game on our airwaves tonight, pregame 6:45, will be Lincoln Southeast. The Knights off a 26-9 win over Lincoln Southwest, hosting 2-0 and I believe top 10 Creighton Prep at Seacrest Field, coming up in just over 2 hours. Shout out my boy Nick. He's on 9th Street. Nicholas, hello. Appreciate you, my friend. Big Bang Hank, as Austin, Royals nerd here. Epic breakdown on the organization. Thank you. Let's go Royals. Big Bang Hank, my man. We are in this together. We will be. Royals are steps away. They're not miles away. They're close. You know, and I know close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, but it counts a little more when you're the Royals and you haven't been in the playoffs as often as their fans would like. So a lot of work to be done for the Royals, but it's manageable work. It's achievable work. Nothing that can't be accomplished in just one offseason. So I will remain hopeful for the Royals. I like J.J. Pecola. I think he's made a lot of really good moves in his time in charge. I'm excited to see what this offseason holds. Excited to see the Royals back in the playoffs in 2026. Speaking of close, Cole Reagans. I was right. He is actually confirmed to get the rehab start again tonight for the Omaha Storm Chasers. Second one of his rehab assignment. First one went pretty darn well. He went 3 innings for Omaha against Iowa. Gave up a solo homer and an infield single in 3 innings. Struck out 7 batters, including 6 in a row at one point. Threw 45 pitches across those 3 innings, which 15 pitches an inning is kind of what you're looking for as a pitcher, as a general rule of thumb. 34 of the 45 went for strikes. Fastball also reached 97, coming off his left rotator cuff strain. Really good signs from Cole Reagans, who makes his second rehab start for Omaha tonight. But at this point, I'm team shut him down. You know, it's not going to be worth shuffling the roster. It's not going to be worth bringing him up, I wouldn't think, to throw in the major leagues with the Royals this far out of it. You know, no, not mathematically eliminated, but on the doorstep of it, their toes are dangling over the edge of the cliff. I don't think it's worth it to risk it. Let him keep playing his catch, do his up and downs, his bullpens all went well. He obviously progressed to the point where he's still throwing 97 and good command, good control in three innings in AAA, which no matter how good you are, I mean, that's still an offensive hitter's environment. Cole Reagan's dominated. He plowed through it. I would rather the Royals played a little bit safe. If the Royals have a bad weekend, do we shut them down with the injured pitching? Big Bang Hank says, yeah, I do think that that's got to be an option. If they lose two out of three to the Phils, and Seattle keeps playing well, and the guards pass them, and in New York and Boston aren't going anywhere. Yeah, I do think that, you know, you keep Noah Cameron pitching, you keep Michael Lorenzen pitching, Michael Wacha, I think you obviously keep him going. But Lugo's done. I would have Reagan's done. Bubich, obviously, I mean, hasn't picked up a ball yet, I don't think. And that's where you see, you know, Ryan Berger. How do you respond? He got shelled in his last outing at Cleveland. That's another big, big disappointment. For a guy that had been so steady, so consistent for the Royals, he got rocked against Cleveland. Kind of came out of the blue. You got to get him a couple more starts to see how he responds. Stephen Kolek, tough luck loser last night. 6 2/3, I believe it was. Really quality baseball. Only allowed the one run before Schreiber gave up the two-run bomb that ultimately ended up winning it for the guards. You got to see Kolek pitch again. See what you got in him. Bailey Falter, I believe, is in the bullpen, unless he got put on the IL. But, you know, shoot, give him a shot, whatever. Shane from Lincoln, I disagree with your comments. Still have a home series with Seattle and play the Angels and Oakland. We can win those. Shane, I get your point. I see where you're coming from. I absolutely do. But here's the issue, right? Without wanting to give up hope, because again, the Royals are still alive. Their chances aren't zero. At this point, you're five games back. You only got 15 games left. You're looking at, you have to go, I mean, at least 12-3. But if you go 12-3, let's say that Seattle has 15 games left. You're five games back of them. Or Houston, I guess, is in that spot. Either way, that's going to be a tight race to the end. Let's say you still got to go plus five against Seattle, who also ends up playing Oakland in the Angels toward the end of the year, winnable games. Are you going to sweep Seattle? Crazier things have happened, but you're hoping for 2 out of 3. You're just hoping not to get swept by the Phillies, who are in a much better spot than you, and you're at their home park. Blue Jays are really good. I mean, you take 2 out of 3 from them. It's unlikely. Let's say you go 1-2 against Philly, 2-1 against Seattle, and 1-2 against the Blue Jays. That means you have to sweep both of your last series on the road against the Angels and the Athletics just to give yourself a chance. And that's before even knowing if Seattle's already clinched a spot or if Houston ends up winning one more game than you. Odds are good the Royals are going to drop a game in each series, right? That's the point of baseball, is that it's hard to sweep. You're just going for winning series and stacking winning series on top of one another. It's not out of the question. It would be a huge upset if the Royals win the series against the Phils. It'd be a good step in the right direction. But the problem is that so little of it is in the Royals' control. Yeah, they have games left to play, but it's not just if the Royals win, they keep distance between them and the teams behind them. They keep them at arm's length. At this point, Royals wins are not enough on their own. They also need Houston losses. They also need Texas losses. They also need Cleveland losses. They need Tampa Bay losses at this point as well. And that's why this is so painful and so brutal, is that even if the Royals finish 12-3 over the last 15 games, I think that's officially the last 15 games. Even if they do that, that might not be enough just because of the number of teams that they have to catch in front of them and how many teams they need to play some of their worst baseball of the season just to have a chance. So no, it's not over. Yes, you are correct. The Royals can win those games. Problem is, Royals can't make the teams ahead of them lose many games. Outside of the Mariners, that's the only chance the Royals have to, of their own volition, make up ground, which is why it looks so bad for them five games out with 15 to play. We'll go to break, get back on football, NFL games of the weekend. But first, college football games. Really fun weekend across the sport. We'll see if we can get Jay Foreman connected, hear his thoughts. If not, you're stuck with me. Maybe we'll bring Rudy in, discuss some college football and some NFL, and we get back for hour three of Old School.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.